Freedom Through Grace, Bible Study Lesson Number 6, June 7, 2012. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You say, when are you going to get beyond Genesis 1, 1 and all the things? Well, we've been beyond it in a lot of different ways, and we've gotten back to it. We come around because if you're going to understand freedom, you've got to understand it exists by the grace of God, that everything that we have exists through the grace of God. Without the grace of God, there is nothing that exists, nothing that could exist, nothing that ever will exist. Grace is the total issue in everything. Grace is God's principle of action toward man, the human race, but God's grace begins with creation for what it is. You see, freedom demands order. Freedom is not chaos, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Freedom demands order. And a system of order is first seen. Always comes out absolute correct order from God's laws of divine establishment for temporal living in the material world. And the material world is under a set of laws, too, and we have to understand those first. These are the laws of creation. The order in the universe is there because creation responds to the Father's divine laws of establishment. Phase one, or the first codex, which would be creation law, the law of the universe, the law of space, of dimensions, of everything we have. We talk about the first dimension, second dimension, third dimension. Everything that exists within the order of systems of what God has created. And this is where we begin with. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity in the teaching of the Word of God. Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We pray that each one will be filled with the Spirit, having no known unconfessed sin in their life, that they may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you take this doctrine, let it have spiritual impact in their souls. In Christ's name we pray, saying even so come. Lord Jesus, amen. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, we have verse 1, we have original creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything decently and in order. God is not the author of confusion. We have chaos in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. We have the restoration of the earth in verse 3 and following. Now, we saw that in the beginning God created Bereshith Elohim, made up of the preposition be, meaning in, plus the object of the preposition, the noun Rishah, R-I-S-H-A-H, feminine singular, meaning beginning. Now, we saw that the term in the beginning, that there is no definite article in the Hebrew, therefore we have the exact equivalent of the phrase in the Greek that's found in John 1:1, in R-K-E-N, the Greek preposition, plus R-K-A-R-C-H-E. In the beginning, which was without beginning, the dispensation of the triune Godhead, pre-creation eternity, which we also call the dispensation of Alpha, N plus the vocabulary form of R-K-A-R-C-H-E in the locative case means in the beginning, which was not a beginning. The absolute definite article for both Bereshith and R-K means eternity past, the dispensation of Alpha, the dispensation of the triune Godhead. God was his own steward. God was in charge of everything. There was no one there but God. The three persons of Godhead were in perfect unity with each other, perfectly functioning together. One pastor friend of mine said he couldn't use the term the dispensation of the triune Godhead. And his reasoning, I still don't exactly understand down there. God existed. God was administrating God's plan upon himself. God was living eternally in an orderly system because God is a God of order. God is a God of total perfection. All perfection exists within God. God the Father was perfectly loving God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The Son was perfectly loving the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was perfectly loving the Father and the Son. They were all functioning together within a righteousness. Now, we do not know how anything about and cannot understand the infinite relationship of the triune Godhead without beginning and without end. We are finite creatures. It is beyond our concept to even speculate upon, except it's not perfect stagnation, nothing moving. It's not. It's God is a God of action and activity within himself. There's action and activity. There's communication within himself. The Father presented the plan for the ages. The blueprints of the ages were laid out by God. It's called the divine decree. The creation would come into existence according to blueprints. The divine decrees would take into consideration, as we've taught you, everything that would happen, that God allows to happen. You have his directive will. That which he desires to happen, and therefore he is the cause for happening. The permissive will, that which he permits to happen. His directive will has left for man volition to choose to serve and not to serve, to obey and not to obey. Because God gave man volition. God created volition, therefore volition exists, and it's wrong for us to say that man doesn't have perfect volition. Christ had perfect volition because he was perfectly human. But yet he was one person, not two. This is beyond our inscrutable for us to understand. It's something we must take by faith. But God has a directive will, that which he would have to occur in creation. He has a permissive will, sin and evil that he allows to happen. He has a related to man, he has an optional will, leaving things that are not essential. The Father did not care whether you and I got up this morning and did what I've done. I have not yet had any kind of breakfast. Probably have a bowl of cereal when I finish this class. But he didn't care whether I skipped breakfast or whether I got up and had pancakes or sausage biscuits and gravy or ham and eggs and grits and red-eye gravy and buttermilk biscuits and sorghum molasses and Cajun coffee, which I am drinking, by the way, this morning, a super grace blessing, spiritual blessing of some Cajun coffee. God leaves optional many things. My wife has certain foods that she likes better than I do. I have foods I like better than she does. That's the optional will of God. The overruling will in God is the things he intervenes in history to make sure do not change. All right, God's decretive will covers all of these things. Now, under the laws of science, for the preservation of the universe, the world is being upheld by the Word of God. Therefore, therefore the basic fundamental functions of creation, even with the sin and evil that's broken into creation, God's system is perfect for what he is doing, and he is controlling things, putting limitations upon what it is, as we have seen. But it begins with God in eternity past. We saw in the close of the last class that N plus the vocabulary form of archae in the locative form, meaning in the sphere of, in the beginning, which was without beginning. The absence of the definite article in both Bereshith and RK, meaning eternity past, the dispensation of the triune Godhead. Now, the reason we have Bereshith with it shows that in eternity past, in the dispensation of the triune Godhead, there came a point when something happened. John 1:1 and Genesis 1:1 refer to a segment of time in eternity past. John talks about the existence of God in eternity past. Moses talks about the creation of the entire universe in eternity past. Now, Genesis 1:1 is the only verse in this passage that presents the creation of the universe. That is why it is so important that you understand the interpretation based upon a Hebrew exegesis of what we have in front of us and not to make any mistakes about it. There are not 6 or 7 days involved in original creation. Creation of the universe was instantaneous and occurred long before man was created. We do not know how long. A billion years? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate at all. Or whatever. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, the dispensation of the triune Godhead. In the beginning, which was without beginning, the whole dispensation, because God is infinite. Pre-creation, eternity past, the dispensation of Alpha. Elohim created. All right, God first introduced the divine decree. He introduced a plan, first of all, at what we call the Eternal Life Conference, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father laid out, now God is omniscient. This is just language of accommodation for us. God has always known His things, but God laid out His design plan of the ages, the plan to add human glory to the divine glory of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring about a greater glory for His Son. Nothing can be added to deity because deity is perfect. The glory of God is eternal and infinite, and nothing infinite can add to it. So what God did was God introduced a plan. The Father had a plan. The plan was for the ultimate glorification of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He made a pact, a covenant with the Son. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of His everlasting covenant. He brought forth a plan for creation. And for the creation, a plan that would permit sin and evil to enter in. Satan would cause the original rebellion, the original sin, Lucifer, and lead the, and start the angelic warfare. And God would permit all these things so that He could create the Adamic human race to resolve it. Satan rebelled against God, seen in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And God's armies under the elect angels defeated Satan, the spirit being one-third of the star systems that worship him, because a third of the stars fell. I take that for star systems, angelic governments out there in the universe. Followed Lucifer in battle, and they were conquered and defeated. Lucifer was arrested and tried before God in his angelic world, and evidently he filed an appeal. We base his appeal, as we point out to you many times, on three things. One, Lucifer asked, how could a loving God cast one of His created beings into eternal lake of fire? Two, that's a prison, by the way, a prison of eternal torment. Two, how could a just God not cast one of His sinful creatures, even though He loved them, into the eternal lake of fire? Therefore, he thought he could set up a paradox between the love of God and the righteousness of God. And three, how could an infinite being ever understand the needs of finite creatures? First one I got from Pastor Bob Thiem. I developed the second one in my own teaching, and the third one from Pastor Carl Neal. Give credit where credit's due there. God created the human race, beginning with Adam, for the purpose of allowing the Son to come down and take upon Himself a human nature, become the God-man, and show on the cross of Calvary the meeting between the love of God and the righteousness of God, having already satisfied all the finite needs of Christ, of man through Christ. You think you need an air conditioner. If air conditioner was essential thing to life, then air conditioners would have been invented and been on the face of the earth in hot Jerusalem, Bethlehem, when Jesus Christ was growing up. You think you need an automobile or a fancy automobile. If automobiles were essential to life, they would have been there when Jesus Christ was there. You think you need water purifiers. You think we need airplanes. All the things we think we need are things that God allowed to be developed and come about, but if they were not in existence when Jesus Christ was upon the face of this earth, they're not essential. God has allowed man to develop and improve his lifestyle. But we take for granted and we demand to have what is not essential. People have to be comfortable. Like we have a nation, Fuller says, Fuller blasted out and pointed out that we've developed a nation of mamby-pamby boys. Fuller's the greatest Marine fighter that ever lived. Ranked with George S. Patton as the two greatest military leaders in actual combat the United States has produced in the last since Stonewall Jackson. And we've had some great fighting men leadership. This is at the general regimental and brigade division levels of what they were doing down there in armies in Patton's case. Fuller was never allowed to command armies. He should have been, but he wasn't allowed to. But Fuller pointed out that people want to fight wars without their boys getting hurt. Everybody wants to be soft these days. I can remember going out to a football stadium to watch a football game and sitting on a hard bench in cold and rain and snow. Not heavy snow, but some snow at that. Now they have to have other things so sophisticated and so fine, padded seats, all these different things. Swanky boxes for the rich to sit up and do their booze, and they didn't know what's going on in the football game half the time. Partying, all the things they're doing, making a big social event. Military. We've lost track of the fact that the purpose of war is to defeat the enemy on the field of battle. The purpose of war is not to build nations. The purpose of war is not to be police. The purpose of war is not to play games. It's not to provide jobs. It's not to provide a step toward an education. It's to train people to fight, kill the enemy on the field of battle, to preserve freedom. Read General Puller and some of these other men's statements, and you'll find out. I'm not saying that's you're a warmonger. No, I'm not a warmonger. We're living in a world of sin, evil, and chaos. But we're so soft and so spoiled about things. But God brought into creation things that are needed, and God honors His Son, and therefore everything that we have to have, the Son would have had if it was essential to life. Now, we have in front of us the only verse in Scripture then, Genesis 1:1, the only verse in this chapter that presents the creation of the universe. And we have to examine the creation of it. All right, the first thing we see is God. The first beginning is without beginning. Of the five beginnings is the eternal God. God, the Godhead, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God the Father, and the Word was God the Son. The same was in the beginning with the triune Godhead. We see God existing in the dispensation of the triune Godhead, or Alpha, eternity past, pre-creation eternity. The next thing that came into existence was the third heaven. The heavens is covered plural there in the Greek, in the Hebrew. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it should be. And the third heaven was created as a place for the spirit world to dwell in. We have the other heavens created, the universe around us, the heavens that make up the universe, the atmosphere heaven was restored by God during the period of time that we have in the restoration of all things. We point out to you many times that we begin in Genesis 1:1. We have Elohim includes latent, is a uniplural verb, a noun, I'm sorry, uniplural noun, and therefore has with latent within it the triune Godhead. Elohim in the English, El, the fundamental basic word for it, El, and also we have Elah out of it, E-L-A-H. Is the first of the three primary names of deity as a uniplural noun, formed from El meaning El meaning strength and a strong one, Allah Alah meaning to swear to bind oneself or by an oath, so imply faithfulness. The uniplurality implied the name is directly asserted in Genesis 1:26. In Genesis 1:26 we read, and God said, let us make man in our own image. The us shows the Trinity of God. The triune Godhead plurality is manifested there. In it. Then in verse 27 we have the unity of God. So God created man in His own image. Singular. Thus the triunity of God is latent in Elohim. The term means primarily the strong one is fitly used in the first chapter this way, so we can see introduced in Genesis 1:1 in the term Elohim, we have three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The first great created being to appear upon the face of the earth becomes, our in creation itself, becomes Lucifer, the son of the morning, who rebelled against God, but he is not present until partway through Genesis 1:1. We have here the heavens, the third heaven, the place of the spirit world dwells and lives. the second heaven, the universe introduced, and in between we have the creation, I believe, of angelic creatures, because I believe that the angelic creatures do represent, and were present at the formation of creation of the universe, of this universe, that they saw the universe just like we're going to see the new universe. Now, you may not agree with this, but that's your privilege to do so, but I totally believe that. I have in my concept down there, I believe that in restoration we will see Genesis chapter 6, we see the redevelopment of creation and restoration, showing the pattern of original creation, and we will see it all come about in the future. So we began here in the creative age, we could say, of a dispensation of Alpha, or the triune Godhead. God issued a divine decree that started out a chronological order of things. Now, the creation was in the dateless past. It was not in the beginning of the first day, as we see in Genesis 1, 3 to 5. The 6 days' work is described in Genesis 1, 3 to 31 was a restoration of the earth. Not the creation of the universe and starry space, the heavens above it. The original condition before it was made formless and void. Peter speaks of the world that then was, that was overflowed with the water and perished, in 2 Peter 3. The matter of creation of the pre-Adamic earth is not revealed in Scripture. They simply declare, in the beginning God created, therefore he barad, he manufactured something out of nothing. We're not going to get into the hypotheses that have been brought about concerning this. God called the earth into being, the heavens into being, and the earth into being. Now, in between the heavens and the earth, God created the angelic world. Look at John 8:44. Hear of your father, the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. All right, Lucifer and all the angelic world was created prior to the creation of the earth. And the earth was created. So we have God, universe, angels, earth, and man. Created in this order. The angels being created between the third heaven and the second heaven, the universe. All right, the angelic conflict came into existence, Isaiah 14, verse 7. The whole earth is at rest, and it's quiet, and the break forth and the singing is the existence of the angelic creation. This is when angels were created, and there was no problem for them. Then we move to Isaiah, further down in Isaiah 14, and we hear, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which art just weakened the nation? But I said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The Satanic Rebellion, also seen in Ezekiel chapter 28. All this happened before man, as we know man under Adam, was placed upon the face of earth. Adam is the father of the Adamic human race. There was no man before Adam. There may have been a race before Adam, but if a different race in the spirit world, but if it was, it was not the race of Adam. Dealt with that issue in other classes. We'll not go into that today. In chapter 28,
Verse 11, more of the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and son full of wisdom and perfect and beauty. Here in verses 12 to 15, as in Isaiah 14, 12, the language goes beyond the king of Tyre to Satan, inspired and unseen ruler, as all such pomp and pride as that in Tyre. Instances of thus indirect addressing Satan are Lucifer also seen in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, Matthew 16, 23. Then fallen state of Lucifer, who became Satan, the devil, the old dragon, the prince of this world, the prince of the powers of the air, the serpent, are here described. His fall is seen in Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. But there is more here. The vision is not of Satan in his own person, but of Satan fulfilling himself in and through an earthly king who arrogates himself divine honor, so that the prince of Tyrus foreshadows the coming Antichrist. Thou hast been at Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was the covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, though thy pipes were prepared in thee from the day that thou existed. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now this is not the Eden of the earth. This is the Eden of heaven. There is no garden. The Garden of Eden was covered with plants and flowers. The grass of it was not made out of precious stones, as described here. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways. The day thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. He goes on with that. This is the original rebellion of Satan, Lucifer, before us. Sin entered in. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14 refers to Satan, the prince of the world system. John 7, 7, Revelation 13, 8, the real, the unseen world, the successful world powers, Tyre, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, etc. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 14, Lucifer, the day star, can be none other than Satan. This tremendous passage marks the beginning of sin in the universe. When Lucifer said, sin began. I will do this. I will defy God. I will do things my own way. Now, Satan's rebellion brought warfare that turned the universe upside down to a certain point. I'm convinced that our entire solar system here. See, Lucifer was made the head of this world system. He also was the anointed cherub above the throne of God. He was given many authorities and responsibilities that beyond any other creature. We don't have time to teach Satanology here today. But the earth was a unique place related to the angelic world, and when Satan said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God, Satan was seeking to lift himself up to the top of the order of all things. The chart, G-U-A-E-M, that we've given you shows the concept. God, the God, triune God in existence, John 1:1. The universe coming into existence, first the third heaven. Then the angelic world. Then the earth. Original animal and plant life was upon the earth. The earth became Satan's headquarters, and chaos took over the earth, and the earth was without form and void. This was the judgment that packed the earth in ice of Genesis 1-2, with Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, which we've seen many times, and we'll look at one more time just to refresh your memory. And I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. The chaotic earth was formless and void. It was wasteland. God's judgment came upon this earth because of the angelic world, and this is what introduced to us the Ice Age. The great Ice Age that swept the earth and covered it and froze it over. the sun was moved out of its orbit. So it was no longer connected to the Earth in its proper place to bring warmth and heat to the face of the Earth. Judgment stood upon this Earth. It was without form and void. I realize that we have spent far longer than most pastors would ever do emphasizing once again to you the original creation concept to get it driven into your mind that God Earth became desolate and the earth became empty. We will study that, but we must realize God created it perfect to begin with. Man's creation will come during the restoration of this earth. Now, we've seen that within the beginning, which was without beginning, the universe was created, including the planet Earth. In eternity past, there were no angels, but at a point in eternity, angels were created, the spirit world beings. Time began chronologically for angels, as indicated by the solid line. Time is still going on for the angelic world today, thanks to the creation of man. There was an indefinite period of time between the creation of angels and the creation of man. During that period of time, the earth became chaotic due to the events that occurred among the angels, as we've seen in Isaiah 14:12-17. Before the creation of man, the earth was restored by God, as we were going to see from Genesis 1:2 on. The last concept we have to understand indicates the creation of man began God's plan to unfold, headed forth to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man. Everything had it was done with a purpose. God did nothing without a purpose. God is not defeated or failed anyway. He's sitting in the heavens laughing. He's on his throne ruling over all creation. During the time that these creations were taking place, eternity went right on with God. God in infinity is outside of creation, and God is in creation. The concept of time does not apply to God. How God relates chronologically, we cannot say because God is total and perfect, but God doesn't just simply exist in a strange state of being. We can't understand in the infinite state. He exists and he's active. But we fully don't understand, cannot comprehend it all. All right, we see there are four key beginnings. Each beginning is seen in the arche span. A-R-C-H-E, arche is used to mean eternity, but eternity is going on while God's time is going on. First, there was a time when the members of the Godhead did not, there was never a time when the members of the Godhead did not exist. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's when we call it the dispensation of the triune Godhead. We use that term to explain once God entered, God began to unfold, using language of accommodation for us, his eternal perfect plan of the ages. Within the Godhead, it's called the Eternal Life Conference for language of accommodation. The Father, Son, and Spirit each have identical essence. They are co-equal and co-eternal. Secondly, in the beginning, which was not a beginning, the dispensation of triune Godhead, the segment of eternity past, God the Father issued his divine plan, laid out his blueprints, and God the Son created the heavens and the earth, the original animal and the plant life. In eternity past, between the creation of the third heaven, the creation of the second heaven, the universe, the space we call it out here, God created the angelic world. Fourth, man and woman were created in an indefinite period of time later. Now we can take 2 points from the Greek New Testament and one from the passage in Genesis. In John 1:1, God and Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek word NRK, hey, ho, logos, NRK, looks like this in the Greek, E-N, and A-R-C-H-E-H-E-H-O-L-O-G-O-S-E-N, A-R-C-H-E, refers to the preexistence of God, to the fact that Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son, preexisted creation of any type. The first chronological order of beginnings is the existence of God who has no beginning. In a beginning which has no beginning, he always was and always will be, consistent and perfect. Never a time when he wasn't ho logos, the Word. Jesus Christ, from the standpoint of chronology of John 1:1 and the oldest verse in the Bible. There is nothing older than the existence of God the Son as a member of the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always existed. Now, while the human nature of Jesus Christ did not yet exist, and did not exist according to John 1:14 as we know until he came through Mary, Christ is not dual people. This was all settled in eternity. It's all settled in the early part of the dispensation that we live in, the grace of God the Father, when we moved in the early church age, the age of the local church, and the battles over the heresies that came out of him being both God and man, being separately two different persons, totally indistinct. He was tested totally in his humanity. I have no problem with that. He spoke, functioned, acted through his humanity while he was on the earth, but he was one person in totality, and you can't separate him out any more than we can take the attributes of God and separate out the original God, as people often do and don't understand how God exists and functions. Then came the universe. First existed the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, nothing older than the existence of the triune Godhead. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The next beginning refers to creation of the universe among all the galaxies and one little planet called Earth. The antiquity of the universe is unknown. Neither carbon dating, fossil study, nor any other system can give us this information. They all have their fallacies and flaws in it. God created a universe, created spirit beings, created the heaven, third heaven, created spirit beings, created the universe, placed in there, organized the universe, set up the systems. We know from Colossians that Christ set up systems of order. Look at Colossians 1 for just a moment. Let me show you something that you have to understand before the creation of the earth. Verse 16, for by him were all things made that were made in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. Those are four terms for spirit world order. Angelic order is a system. It is my total belief that outer space, that the galaxies out there are held by holy elect angels and have systems of government and functions and bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ every day, because everything was made to be inhabited. And the stars, suns, representing the light systems, classify within these different galaxies, solar systems, God's total system of order. Now, Satan's chaos and warfare and the angelic conflict turned our solar system upside down. You might say planets were moved out of alignment for life and things became different to what we have down here in the warfare. These are the scars of warfare between elect and holy angels and fallen angels. We don't understand how they fight or anything about that because it's different, but it's there. And they're powerful, and we see the scars upon them for these things. But it's in no way means that God's system was not perfect and that there are not still out in the rest of the universe systems organized and bringing honor and glory to God among his holy elect angelic world. And I see we want to send everything in mankind. The angels are the servants of God. All right, in John 8:44, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The phrase here in the Greek is aparches. The preposition apo, apo, plus the genitive singular of the noun arche, arche, refers to the creation of angels. Notice the devil was a murderer, not from the beginning, but from a beginning which was not a beginning. Therefore, going back in the first part of verse 44, he is saying, you, the religious, pharisaical, priestly order Jews, are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer in ages gone past, the creative ages, the dispensation of the spirit world. Then comes man. He, Jesus, answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, aparches, aparches, made them male and female, Matthew 19:4. There is no definite article here with aparches, because it refers to some segment of eternity past. It should be translated from a beginning which was not a beginning, dispensation of this would be the beginning of the dispensation of man coming out of it. God designed them knowing eternity past. See, everything was blueprinted in eternity past and the divine decrees and brought into existence. This is what we need to understand. God designed the bodies of man and woman, their souls, their spirits, of Adam and Eve in the dispensation of the triune Godhead, even though he did not create them until the dispensation of man following the fall of Adam, fall of Satan. All right, in Genesis 1:1, the instantaneous creation of the entire universe came into existence. Not angels, not man, not the earth, just the universe. The emphasis is on the earth as the battleground for the angelic conflict. God did not see fit to furnish any additional information on the original creation. We know that the angelic world was created between the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a Hebrew word for God. We saw the suffix I am is a Hebrew plural, thus indicating the Trinity, the triunity of God, the three co-equal and co-eternal persons of the Godhead. This is God from the standpoint of essence or character, and God is one in essence. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. All members of the triune Godhead are identical in their essence. They have the same sovereignty, righteousness, justice, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, love, immutability, and veracity. They are co-equal and co-eternal. All three members of the triune Godhead are involved in creation, though God the Son was the actual executor of creation, according to John 1:3. All things were made by Him. Without Him was anything made that was made, with Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Since He is the person of John 1:1-2, He is the person of John 1:3, that in Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things made, created, and made that are in heaven and are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, eternity past, Elohim created. The word bara, as we've explained to you, B-A-R-A, means to create something out of nothing. This is comparable to ex nihilo, E-X and N-I-H-I-L-O in the Latin. Now, you must understand that only in the Kal stem does bara mean to create out of nothing. In the Nifil stem, bara, B-A-R-A, means to be born or to become alive. In the PL stem, B-A-R-A, means to cut, to carve, to polish. In the Hifil stem, it means to feed, to make fat, using reference to feeding animals. Somebody says, well, bara is not always used to create something out of nothing. Well, they need to understand the Hebrew stems. Next we have Ha Shemayim, H-A plus S-H-A-M-A-J-I-M. Again, we see of the plural ending I am. This should be translated the heavens, and that includes everything but the planet Earth, the third heaven, the universe, all the galaxies and solar systems. The whole universe was created instantaneously out of nothing. Now, how it unfolded in its instantaneous creation, I do not claim to understand and will not in any way attempt to understand, argue the law of physics. God brought the universe into existence in perfection. Now, how He did it, and what are the mechanics of it, I am not a scientific mind to understand and even begin to relate to some of these things. It was manufactured out of nothing. It was manufactured in totality in verse 1 with no explanation. Finally, we have Ha-Aretz, H-A plus A-R-E-T-Z, the planet Earth. From here on out, the rest of the passage is all devoted to planet Earth. No further reference is ever made to the universe in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, which was out beginning, the dispensation of the triune Godhead, Alpha, pre-creation, eternity past, Elohim created out of nothing the entire universe, including the planet Earth. Alright, we've seen in the past, and we'll remind you, there are three Hebrew words for creation. Bara, B-A-R-A, created. by Ra, meaning in the Kal stem, to create something out of nothing. Furthermore, the something created is not necessarily visible or observed. Secondly, Yatsar, J-A-T-S-A-R, meaning to the word used for fashioning something on the exterior as a sculptor molding an object. And Asai, S-A-H, made the word as the concept of building out of something already in existence. In Isaiah 45:18, we read, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath created it." Isaiah 45:18a. All right, we have the Lord there. We have the Tetragrammaton for J-H-V-H for Jehovah, or if you prefer the other Hebrew rendering of it, Yahweh. Of course, there's no vowel points in the original. Is the Hebrew phrase here, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God has formed the earth and made the most of it," is the person of God the Son. Because we know from Colossians, he's the actual creator of the universe. This is correctly translated there, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it and hath established it," Isaiah 45:18a. Created is the Kal active participle of bara and should be rendered "the one creating out of nothing the heavens and the earth." Now, we have been a while since we've been in Hebrew with y'all, so we will remind you the Kal stem, the active voice. If it's in the indicative mood, it would be declarative. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. We have here the participle which describes the doer of the action denoting the verb. The Lord, God the Son, that's the person of God the Son, created the heavens. Then he formed the earth. Here we have the Kal active participle of Yatsar, J-A-T-S-A-R, and means the one fashioning as a potter molds clay. As little children take and make mud pies or mud statues or whatever, playing in the mud, as they used to when they were little kids today, they probably don't do that. Yeah, I played in the mud and slop, slime. This earth didn't hurt me any. Keep our kids perfectly clean today. Keep our kids from doing anything and all this stuff today. Everything has to be different. The formation of the earth is very important because we must have a certain type of topography for man to survive. Since the water helps to purify the air, there must be more water than land mass. Prevailing winds, which blows in the oceans, purify the earth's land mass. They pick up the excess carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide traces. The wind returns to the oceans, where these chemicals are absorbed by the water as bicarbonates. See, the ocean takes an Alka-Seltzer, as one pastor said. There's been no trenches. There had to be trenches in the oceans, basins, and depths. Why? To keep water within a boundary and to set up a water-land ratio. God the Son is Yatsaring the topography of planet Earth, God himself that formed the earth and made it. Made, the Kal active participle of the third word that we have from the Hebrew, Asah, E-S-A-H, meaning to manufacture out of existing material. At some point following the creation of the universe, God made plant and animal life. He had established it literally. He stabilized it, the earth. This refers to the relationship between the heavens and the earth and the other planets, as well as the relationship between the earth and God. The earth is established so as to be continuing an orbital path with a pattern without being destroyed by any other planets or celestial bodies. God put all the planets in space exactly where he wanted them to be. The Earth is one little planet in one little galaxy, one little solar system, I should say, in one little galaxy of space. But it's stabilized and non-destructible until God the Father, author's plan, would call for the Son to say the word. At that point, it will self-destruct through nuclear fission, or fusion, according to 2 Peter 3:10. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even every one that is called by name have I created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him again." We have the same three Hebrew verbs, except at this time the passage referring to creation of the first man, Adam. A literal translation of the verse should read, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I, Jesus Christ, have created out of nothing the soul of man for my glory. I have fashioned the outer features of this body, yea, I have made this body out of the existing materials of the chemicals of the ground." The creation of the earth did not occur over a long period of time. The Archaeozoic through the Cenozoic ages of geology. Original creation was instantaneous from the hand of God and occurred as rapidly as you can pronounce the word bara, creation. Look at Psalm 19:1. We've got to take the word of God literally. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament his handiwork. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water. The six-day period recorded in Genesis 1, 3-31 is not a description of original creation. This refers to the preparation of the earth for habitation. This is the restoration of the earth. The time of creation is unknown. The antiquity of the universe is unknown, but what is known is that God did it. You will notice in Genesis 1:1 there is no argument for the existence of God. There is no apologetics for it. The scripture simply declares, Moses wrote, "In the beginning, which was without beginning, God created," meaning God had to exist to create before anything was created. Therefore, God is uncreatable. He is eternal. You see, God, is being God, does not have to justify his existence to anyone. In Isaiah 45:18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Now, he created it not in vain. Bara, B-A-R-A, with a third feminine singular suffix, refers to the planet Earth, not the whole universe. He created it not in vain. Lo tohu, L-O plus T-O-H-U. The best translation of tohu, waste or desolation. He created out of nothing the Earth, not a waste or desolation. He formed her, Yatsar, J-A-T-S-A-R, sculpting topography, to be inhabited. To be inhabited is the Kal infinitive construct of Yashav, J-A-S-H-A-B. Means to dwell in blessings. Finally, I am the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, the Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is none else, no other celebrity, no other creator. He's the one who did it. And when we come to the chaos, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of deep, Genesis 1:2. The word "and" should be translated "but the earth." And then the earth, we have the word "was," which is the Kal perfect of Hayah, H-A-J-A-H, meaning "hath begun." As we know that God is perfect and his works are perfect, Deuteronomy 32:4. Look at Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgments, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Matthew 5:48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The word implies full development, growth, and maturity of godliness among believers, not sinless perfection. We need to advance and grow up. And growing up means to think and claim doctrine. The earth was not created imperfect. The earth had become something it was not before the Hebrew. Before, the Hebrew says, tohu wa bohu, T-O-H-U, W-A-W, and B-O-H-U, translated without form and void. 2, translated in vain in Isaiah 45:18. We can translate in both places, waste or desolate. Void, as a translation of Bohu, is not incorrect, but is better to be rendered empty, as we pointed out to you before. Tohu applies the original animal life on the earth. Bohu refers to the original plant life on earth. All we have left for this type of life are some fossils and some few bones to show evidence of their existence, but the earth had become desolate. The creation of angels before the creation of man, there was an indefinite period of time in which Tohu wa Bohu occurred. Angels were also created perfect, but through the negative volition, many rebelled against God. Satan's fall, as we've seen in Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning in verse 15, and Isaiah 14:12-17. The angelic conflict and God's judgments of rebellious angels results in chaos. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. In the Jeremiah passage, we read an interesting thing in Isaiah that goes along with the Isaiah passage. And we're not going to teach the angelic conflict at this point, but we want to make an emphasis here. Look again at Jeremiah 4:23 for just a minute before we close this class out today. Jeremiah 4:23. This is unpopular. I've got friends of mine who've turned against me, pastors who've taught this for years and abandoned the doctrine, afraid to stand up because they didn't study and actually believe it. They just took the word of a pastor they were following who was correct, and then they got mad at him for something, or he died, or whatever, and they found somebody else to follow. Instead of asserting the word of God and thinking it through, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and there was no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Great earthquakes upon the face of the earth. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. The birds typify angelic creatures. There was no man. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Evidently, the earth was populated by a pre-Adamic race of people, because there was a type of man, but not man as we are. We're not descended from, related from, evolved from any form or fashion. Now, they were not a lower species, as evolution would have. They were higher than us because they could communicate with angelic creatures, and we don't directly communicate. We don't see the angelic world around us. They could see and communicate with them to an extent. Isaiah 14 shows that they got involved in the influence of Lucifer and fell. And the judgment came upon the angelic world. It came upon this pre-Adamic race also, whatever it was. You don't have to accept the pre-Adamic race. You have to accept that the judgment came upon the angelic world. The rest of that is, to a point, speculation because of a limited number of verses that are there, but something that I hold to and I've taught to in the past, based upon the destruction of cities and the very direct reference to the fact that there is no man was found. I don't believe that it means that man had not yet been created. I believe it means that the type of man that was here before us, who was superior to us in many ways, was removed. How this fits in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict, it shows that God in his graciousness and things had a plan greater than we are, and we don't have to know all the answers till we get to eternity future. If I'm wrong, I'll be straightened out at that point. But what we had was judgment was upon the earth. The earth had been fruitful. It was no longer fruitful. Cities were broken down. The birds representing angelic world had flown away. For thus saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be desolate, and I will make a full end. Will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken, I have purposed, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. This is the judgment that's seen that brings us to the concept of the raging waters that we'll look at in the next class. But the earth became desolate and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We'll see the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the raging waters. God has a plan. Now, it's my belief when we come to restoration that we're going to see the pattern of original creation in restoration. I think the restoration of the earth in 6 24-hour days shows God's original form of creation. How he did it, details we don't have. But he created and did it. When I say he created everything out of nothing instantaneously, I mean there was time, as we think of time, was not functioning. And what God did and how he created the original earth was up to himself. The chaotic earth got the earth's water baptism of Genesis 1-2. The present earth would come into existence in Genesis 1:3-2:7. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, but will accomplish all that you designed it for. We pray these things in Christ's name, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.